Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's so good to be here tonight. And we are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here, for we know it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we can be here this night. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, O God, to reach out to thee, to draw nigh to thee, to be obedient to thy call and the prompting of thy Spirit. Help us, O God, to reach out to thee, to embrace thy precious Spirit, that precious gift that thou hast promised to us. I pray, O God, that thy Holy Ghost would be poured out here this night. Let us feel thy presence, for we know that thou hast promised wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, and we believe that tonight. We know that thou art right here with us, and I pray, O God, that we would feel thee, that we would be obedient to thy prompting. And I pray, O God, that everything we do here tonight will be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 13 in the chorus book tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. Number 13. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thank you. thy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way here tonight, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to go now to number 25. Number 25 is saying, let go and let God have his way. Number 25. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Number 64 and sing, reach out and touch the Lord. Got my numbers mixed up here. I think it's 76, reach out and touch the Lord. Number 76, praise the Lord. Reach out and touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's really busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by the moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
Why don't we go now to number 135 and sing Leave It There, number 135. Thing that we can take our burdens to the Lord, and He will take those burdens for us. And you know, He is a refuge for our souls. And when you stop and think about that, that is an incredible thing. You know, you think about refuges and places you can go to feel safe and secure. Well, this Jesus is a refuge for our souls. Praise God. So let's turn now to number 90 and sing The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower, number 90. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is Lord. Well, you know, when you put your faith in Jesus, He is a miracle worker, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord. So why don't we go now to number 67 and sing, Jesus is a Miracle Worker, number 67. Jesus is a miracle worker, miracle worker. Let's sing number 70. If you believe, you shall receive. Number 70. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care that you can't do. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and serve a God without limitations. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 89. God can do anything. Number 89. God can do anything. 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 God can do anything. Now, Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, that thou hast been faithful to us, that thou hast kept us, that thou hast sustained us. We know, O God, that we would be completely lost and unable to function even slightly without thy mercy, without thy grace, without thy help. I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead us, continue to direct us in all things. Give us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, and help us, O God, to know what we must do to be a shining light in this lost and dying world. I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, there's another song that came to mind that I think we should sing. And, you know, I feel like the way the Lord has led this song service, we need our faith to be built up. And I believe that's what these songs do. As you sing them, you really start to believe what you're singing. And you put your faith and your trust and your hope in God. And we all need to do that. It's Jesus really is our only hope. I truly believe that.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But we're going to sing number 105 before we turn it over to Shirley for the night. 105, Only Believe. Number 105.
Only believe.
believe in him. That's the best thing we can do. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. It is good to be here tonight, and I just fully agree that, you know, when we think about faith and, you know, start meditating on it, it increases our faith. It helps us so that we can truly reach out to the Lord and receive those things that we have need of. Praise the Lord. You know, as human beings, I know that we all have needs. We're all on a, you know, a road to heaven, but it goes by diverse means, and some of it isn't all that easy. You know, there's just a lot of things that try our faith, try to upset us, and try to take us off from the road. But praise the Lord, this one that put us on track, and he knows how to keep us on track, and he knows how to give us faith so we can believe him. In spite of all the funny things going on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you here tonight, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would increase our faith, Lord. Oh God, that our faith would grow, Lord. And oh God, that you'd help us, oh God, to believe your promises. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Pray, oh God, that you talk to us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, that you move in our hearts. Oh God, that you reach out to save to the uttermost, even tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that you'd help us, oh Lord, to have thy mind and thy perception. Oh God, not to be deceived, oh Lord, but to know what thy word declares. Oh God, and to go forward. Oh God, to believe you, Jesus, no matter how wild the waves may be, Lord. Oh, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Hear our cries tonight. Work tonight, Lord, in our hearts. Oh, Lord, let this word go forth with faith. Oh, Lord, to reach the needs of thy people, Lord. Oh, God, to save that one that's out there needing to be rescued. We thank you in Jesus' name and praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to go to a psalm here tonight. We're going to call it the cry of the soul. And, oh boy, see how the Lord has had such mercy on all of us. We just wouldn't even be here if God hadn't somehow put it within us. Somehow hadn't reached out and you know, put it within our heart to be here. It's a miracle, and in our lives are miracles. I mean, the things that God has done for us, and you know, they're just the things that he's shown us. It's a wonderful thing. We are privileged as his children here tonight. Praise the Lord. But oh, we have a privilege of being here. Oh yes, to worship and to praise the Lord. And as I begin this, I think we all know that within each of our very beings, that there's a spot that God has reserved for himself. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't perceive that. They know that there's something that they're looking for, you know, something that they're craving, something that they're needing, but so often they don't know what it is. And of course, there's all those substitutes that people use to try to fill that void, that empty place where the Lord needs to be in their lives. Oh yes, they do it in all kinds of ways. Houses, oh, land, boats, automobiles, money, oh, relationships, all kinds of things, all that they seek for. You know, sometimes it's drugs and sometimes it's alcohol that people go to try to fill that void. Sometimes it's religion, one or the other, you know, but So often, oh yes, if people don't know the living word, they don't know what God has done, they may seek after something that's completely false. And praise the Lord, we've got something here that leads our lives, that guides us, that shows us. And you know, there's that little hole sometimes, you know, we might just start wandering off a little bit from that straight and narrow way. I thank God, if He gives us the ability to discern that we've gone a little bit astray, maybe a whole lot astray, and we need to get back on the path. It's very urgent. But praise the Lord, there is a cry that wells up within each and every being, and I believe this psalmist was expressing it here in the 84th psalm here. We could turn there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He begins by saying, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Oh, yes, that's how it is. You know, the psalmist was to that point where he realized that the tabernacles of the Lord were very amiable, oh, very desirable, very lovely, very beautiful. Those dwelling places of God, those tabernacles. Oh, yes, there was nothing like it. There was nothing to compare, O Lord of hosts. And then he expresses the thing that's deep down in the soul. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yes, there's a cry. People might not always discern it. They might not know how to perceive it. But oh, there is that need, that void that's deep within each and every individual that needs to be filled. I think if we could quickly turn to Psalms 42. I'm going back to 84, but Psalms 42, the first three verses also express this cry of the soul. It says, "As the heart is a deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" We'll stop right there, I think. But there is a cry, again, it's being expressed, you know, a thirsting for the living waters, a need for God. And we know, as Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount there in the 5th chapter of Matthew, that fourth beatitude, that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And I love it when, you know, there's somebody that's truly hungry for the living word. For surely, all these other things that people look into, these things that they use to fill the void, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. And Solomon, who had wisdom that God gave him, and also riches and everything else that he could desire, expressed that all those things that really are of this earth are vanity. That was one of the things that he discovered in his journey through life. And you know, he sought after many things. And as we get to the very last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, we hear how he mentions, oh, he's talking about the need to remember one's creator in the days of our youth. Oh, that's a precious thing there, 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, have no pleasure in them. It's a wonderful thing when a young person can give their life to the Lord and not waste years and go about and do his or her father's business while they still have energy and strength. Health, all those things that are so valuable. And then it talks about the time when, oh, things turn a little bit more difficult in one's life. It says in verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. It's talking about old age and that possibility that eyes could become dim in those older years. And you know, it makes one more to tremble and to be hindered in many ways. And it talks about the grinder cease. It talks, speaking of the teeth that could possibly be less in one's mouth and make it much more difficult to be nourished with food. And you know, look out of the windows, be darkened because the sight isn't up to par. And it says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low. He shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Talking about those possibilities when, you know, one is more frail, and the other things are not flourishing in their life, and even little things like grasshoppers can be a burden, and there's no desire, but just, you know, it's time at one point to go home and be with the Lord. It says the mourners go about the streets, and it talks about, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Oh, that time when our breath leaves our body, and the soul returns to its maker, and hopefully home with the Lord. It says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Oh, he's telling this all. And of course, this is Solomon in his latter years. And he's saying in verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. In other words, it's futile, it's worthless. The things of this world, they don't amount to anything. Because at the end, we're going to meet our Maker, and we're going to have to give an account of our life. He says in verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And we know that Solomon is known for his many proverbs and all that he sought to teach. And then it says, the words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Oh yes, words that have wisdom to them, that benefit for eternity. And then it says, and further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. And that's interesting. I know there's some people that have devoured books and read. And I remember in times past there were some individuals that had a lot of books and had done a lot of reading, but at a point in their life they realized, hey, I don't know what to do with these books. There was a lot of information and it really didn't go anywhere. They didn't know what to do with it, really, and they gave a lot of those books to pastor. But you know, there can be weariness with too much study. You know, if it isn't things pertaining to the Word of God, then, you know, where does it really go? And so Solomon, as he's concluding this book, he says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is what matters, that we fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Because it tells us in verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh yes, it's all going to be brought out at the end. It's all going to be revealed. Oh, it's all going to go into the judgment, and our works are going to be tried. Oh, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And praise the Lord, I know it's the desires of our heart, yes, to bring forth good fruit, that our works would last, that we would have something to give back to the Lord. Oh, yes, it's a wonderful thing when a life can be lived in the fear of the Lord, with one keeping the commandments of the Lord, live according to God's word. It's a wonderful thing to live life that way and to bring forth fruit so God can show his approval and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of my Lord. Praise the Lord. But those are the things that matter. And here the psalmist, back in Psalms 84, there was a longing in the heart for the things that are enduring, the spiritual things, the things that count. Oh yes, you can search the whole world. You can travel from sea to sea and cover every country and try to find the thing that's missing. But if you don't find God, you never find it at all. Oh yes, God, the living Word, the creator of the universe, the one who made us and gave much hope when he gave himself as a ransom there on the cross of Calvary. Oh yes, coming to this world as a man to make atonement for us. Oh yes, soul, the psalmist is crying here. There's a longing in the soul in verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, it says in verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Oh, praise the Lord, I believe the psalmist observed, oh yes, the sparrow who had found a house, and there was a swallow that had made a nest for herself, and it seems that even it was in the altars. Oh, that swallow chose that place. Oh, yes, to lay her eggs and nourish her young. So it says in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Oh, I know Psalms 122 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, there's something wonderful about being able to come here. Oh, yes, and worship one with another, see one another, but most of all to worship the Lord and to realize that he's here in our presence. Two or three gathered together in the name of the Lord, we know that he is in our midst. And yes, as we sing his praises, oh, he dwelleth. He inhabiteth the praises of his people. Yes, we need to let go and let the Lord have his way in our lives. Oh, yes, we need to just give him glory and worship him with all our being. Oh, yes, because that's what has meaning. That's when things begin to change. Yes, when we give glory to God, when we give him praise. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to come into the house of the Lord and give him the praise and the glory that he's so deserving. Oh, I could say, you know, it's no wonder, you know, it's written in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Oh, yes, the 25th verse, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll tell you what, we see the day approaching. These things that are happening in this world right now tell us that our Lord is coming back, that the days are short, and if we're going to do anything for him, we've got to do it now. Praise the Lord. But thank God we have this privilege. We're not underground yet, you know, but we can come here together. Oh, yes, and worship the Lord and raise our voices and cry out to him. Oh, yes, that beautiful sound when somebody cries out to the Lord. Oh, yes, even in repentance. What a beautiful sound. But thank God we're not to forsake the assembling, the gathering together of ourselves here as the manner of some is. But rather, we exhort, we encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we can come and gather here. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. You know, also in the Psalms, the 16th chapter, the psalmist wrote, and I believe this may be a psalm of David, but it says in verse 8, Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You know, he's right here to help us, to sustain us. Oh, yes, answer our prayers. He's right here. We don't have to be moved. We've set him right before us so that we walk in his ways and in his precepts. And don't wander. Therefore, it says in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Of course, the prophet is prophesying here of the Lord Jesus, who would not see corruption, and also the fact that our souls, back in that time of the Old Covenant, would not be left in that place called Hades. But there was a time when the Lord brought them to his place in paradise. And then it says in verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Oh, the way that we should walk, that highway of holiness. Oh, yes, this is a way, walking in it. When you go to the right and when you go to the left, we need to know that path of life. Praise the Lord, it's in God's word. That's why we study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh yes, we want to walk in that path of life. Oh yes, every other path is leading to destruction. And it says, many there be that go thereat. Oh yes, many are on that broad way that leadeth to destruction, entering into the wide gate. But praise the Lord, there is a path of life that we can enter into and be saved. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. All those that earnestly seek the Lord, that hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Lord is so able to show us, to lead us, to get us to that place where we see the things that matter in this life and turn our hearts to the living God. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Oh, praise the Lord. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, yes, they're right out there. Those everlasting treasures that won't fade away. Oh, yes, they won't be corrupted with the things of this world. They won't rust. The moths can't get at at all. It's forevermore the pleasures that are in Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, yes, in his presence. Oh, yes, when his presence comes down, I'll tell you what, all those other little things begin to disappear as we feel the presence of the Lord, as we yield to him. We know that all is well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all is well when we're in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Yes, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. That's when it's complete. Yes, that's when it's full. Have you been there? Are you at that place where you felt the presence of the Lord, where you came down and every worry began to vanish and every fear left? Oh, praise the Lord, we can get there. That's fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, I know Brother Matthew knows a couple of Sunday mornings ago, I came really frustrated because, I was trying to get to church and they were having this big doings at the park. It was a big car show and, you know, I guess I turned down the wrong road. I'm going the way I usually go, but, you know, they directed me. You know, there was an officer out there directing traffic and, you know, emotion that I was supposed to go to the right. Okay, well, so I go to the right, and then, you know, they got the street blocked off, and I'm supposed to go straight, and, you know, they had me turn, you know, up the road, and, you know, then they had me go around, and, you know, then there were, you know, two different lines that you could get into, and, you know, it was like, okay, come on, I just want to get to church, you know, I don't want to go to the car show, I want to get to church, you know, praise the Lord. Well, I just you know, got in one line, and it was the shortest line, and just I shook my head at the woman out there, and, you know, that pastor, and then there was a barrier at the end, and I just got out of my car, picked it up, put it at the side, and I mean, honestly, I don't want to be trapped, I want to get to church, praise the Lord, but there's a wonderful joy in being here, assembling ourselves together with God's people, praise the Lord, and this psalmist knew it. Oh, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Oh, even if it's a bird that's trying to find its place into the house of the Lord, they will still be praising thee, Selah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then we go to the next verse, verse 5 here. It says, blessed is a man whose strength is in thee. And oh, we know where our strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. You know, just pausing for a moment here and thinking of that scripture in Psalms 40. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You need strength? Yes, wait upon the Lord. You're going to find him. He's going to strengthen you. Yes, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, I think how it was in Elijah, how he outran Ahab's chariot. I tell you what, there was something. The Lord was giving him supernatural strength. Oh, yes, he heard the sound of abundance of rain. He knew it was going to rain in that parched ground, that dry and barren land. Oh, that needed water. And if you need the natural water, how much more the spiritual living waters that come from God. Oh, praise the Lord. And that chapter in Isaiah, oh, it talks about even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But I'll tell you what, those that wait upon the Lord, oh, you get in that secret place of the Most High. You get down there and, oh, bombard heaven and see what happens. Oh, yes, there is a God that knows how to make a way no matter what we're going through, no matter how thick the wilderness may be with trees and shrubs and all kinds of vegetation. Oh, yes, there's a God who knows how to show us that path that leads to life eternal. Yes, praise the Lord, so we can wait upon the Lord. Oh, we can find him. We can be strengthened in our God, in his word, in his ways, on our knees. Oh, yes, here together, assembling as we meditate upon the things of God. Praise the Lord. So it says here in Psalms 84, verse 5, blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a meaning to the word Baca. And there was a valley of Baca that it's describing here. It's talking about those that it was in their heart as they were passing through the valley of Baca. And what it means, Baca means to be sparsely watered. So it could be describing any place where there is a drought. But yet, here it's telling us, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Oh, I'll tell you what, there are those out there that have never heard the words of life. There are those that are in a place where it's not been watered, where there's a drought, where they've never heard the words of life everlasting. They may not know it all. I'm so thankful. We are privileged. Oh, we know. We've got the Word of God, and he's spoken to our hearts, and he brought us here tonight. And oh, yes, he talks to us day by day and hour by hour. But there was a time Well, yes, when all was darkness and they were waiting for the promised one to come. Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2 describe it. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Then, oh yes, because Jesus came, there was a lowly town of Nazareth. Oh yes, and that's where the Savior came from. Oh yes, the Spirit of the Lord began to work. It says in verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, that was the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, as he came into this world, born in Bethlehem and then raised in Nazareth. Oh yes, worked in Canaan. Oh yes, as his first miracle that he did there, turning the water into wine. Oh yes, the people that had walked in darkness. Oh, it was a gross, thick darkness without any hope, but all at once the great light. Oh, the Lord Jesus came into the seed. And oh, yes, those that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, oh, the light came, it shone unto them. And praise the Lord, that light has shone unto us also. Oh, yes, we all were once in darkness. Oh, there was all in all of us a time when we didn't know the living God. We didn't walk in his precepts. We didn't know his ways, but there was a light that shined. Oh, a light that could be seen, a light that we could, oh, understand, that spoke to our souls. Oh, that light that said, this is a way, walk ye in it. When you go to the left, when you go to the right, oh, praise the Lord, that light that came into the world, the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 52 also describes it. If we go there, Isaiah 52 in verses 6 and 7. Oh yes, those places of drought, those places, oh yes, that have not been watered by the Spirit of the living God. It says in verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Oh yes, there were those that recognized the living Savior. There was those that, oh, could see and understand that the Messiah had come. They shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And then verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh, the good news, the gospel that goes forth, and it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings. Oh, yes. Paul in Romans 10 brought these scriptures out also. Again, oh, it's a beautiful thing when the gospel, the light of God begins to shine in a place that, oh, is dark and dismal, doesn't know the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. And here it is. It's talking about, back in Psalms 84, those that who pass through the valley of Baca make it a well. Oh, yes. The words, oh, those that come to that place where the living water has not yet appeared and began to make a well, began to dig a well, began to work, oh, for the Lord, just to see who's going to come and find the living waters. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the light of the gospel that comes. And praise the Lord, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the glad tidings of the gospel. Oh, yes, to those that have never heard it. How beautiful upon the mountains are those feet, oh, praise the Lord, that bring it forth. And we know that Jesus said, oh God, as he looked upon the masses and saw the need of the hour, the ninth chapter of Matthew. He was going about, he was teaching in the synagogues, he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But then when he saw the multitudes, it says in Matthew, the ninth chapter, verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, Jesus saw the masses. They would come to him, and there was nobody to direct their path. He saw them. He had compassion on them. He was moved because they were fainting. They were scattered abroad. They were here. They were there. You know, but it was like they were sheep without a shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh, praise the Lord, if there was a need at that day. Yes, there's a need at this moment too. There's a need for laborers to enter into the field, to teach the word of God unadulterated. Oh God, those that need, oh yes, in these times, the gospel has been so diluted, so polluted of all those other versions of the Bible that, oh, take away from the true words of God. Men in the pulpit, oh yes, appearing as shepherds perhaps, but inside, just ravening wolves seeking whom they may devour with ill intentions and not a right spirit to fully direct the people. It's only the word of God that can save a soul. And if we don't follow that, then what do we have? But Jesus, he told us to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers forth into his harvest. His harvest, and here it is. Here we are at the end of the world, and who knows when the Lord is going to put in that sickle and reap this earth, when it's all going to be over, when the harvest is complete and when it is full. But we still have these moments, all these moments to go forth and see whom we can bring forth. Oh, that hungry soul that has not yet heard, that yet needs full salvation. Oh, perhaps they've heard something that didn't satisfy the soul, something that wasn't genuine, something that wasn't real. We've got the living water. Oh yes, Jesus declared, oh yes, that living water. He came to the woman that was at the well, that Samaritan woman in the fourth chapter of John. And it's quite amazing, you know. Usually Jews did not go through Samaria. They'd walk all around. They'd go on the other side of the Jordan River just to skip over Samaria and get into Galilee, because they didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans were part Jewish and something else, and they were hated of the Jews. But wow, in this fourth chapter of John, it tells us that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. There was something he was going to do. He had to go through Samaria. And he did. He came to a city that was called Sychar. It was a parcel of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, it tells us. And Jacob's well was there. Oh, yes, there was a well there. And Jesus, it says, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And as he was there, oh, there was a woman, a Samaritan woman, that came out to draw water from that well. And Jesus asked her, he said to her, give me to drink. And, you know, the disciples had gone into town to buy some meat, some food, and some nourishment. So here it is, he's talking to this woman in Samaria, and she's really stunned. She's shocked. How is it that thou, being a Jew, in verse 9, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But oh, Jesus knew there was something deep down inside this woman, something that he could offer her. He answered, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And, you know, of course she doesn't understand it yet. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, yes, Jesus has something greater than that of Jacob. Oh, yes, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Oh, yes, how refreshing water can be to us. Oh, as our body dries out and we need something, yes, to bring us natural life. But it happens again, doesn't it? You drink that water and that thirst is quenched for a bit, but oh, a little bit goes down, and then, you know, pretty soon we're thirsty again. So Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, God has something greater to offer. Yes, through Jesus Christ, there's that living water. Oh, yes, that well of water that springs up within God's people. Oh, yes, and this woman was getting thirsty for the living water. She said, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus began to test her. Oh, he said to her in verse 16, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. Oh, yes, there she was out there. Oh, yes, quite a mess, I would say. But, you know, Jesus saw beyond that. Oh, yes, there was something that was reaching out. Oh, yes, for something that was real and genuine and fulfilling and everlasting. And she began to get it. She said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Oh, Jesus saith unto her in verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship a Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, yes, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, that need that we would worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, being filled with his spirit and being bathed with his truth. Oh, yes, holding his truth in our hearts. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus saith unto her, this is a Samaritan woman. Oh, how many Jewish people would not believe in him? Yes, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But here is a woman, oh yes, a Samaritan woman, of a ill background even. And he's going to tell her who he is. Oh, yes, he's telling her that he is the Messiah. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, praise the Lord, he told that woman at the well who he was. Oh, yes, the disciples come back and they're marveling. They're marveling in their hearts that he's speaking with this woman, this Samaritan woman. And you know, what's it all about? This woman left her water pot. She went into the city and she began to tell, oh, the others, Come see a man, which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, yes. Verse 29, come see a man, which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And so they went to inquire. They went to see. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And again, you know, the disciples have brought him food. They had brought him some nourishment in the natural sense. But Jesus explains to them in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was why Jesus came, to do the will of God, to fulfill it, to finish it, to complete it. And he said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Oh yes, even then those fields were ready to be harvested. He said in verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Oh, that's what it's all about. It's about, oh yes, giving our life to the Lord and entering into the harvest to do our Father's will, reaping. Oh yes, knowing that one day it's going to receive a reward. There's going to be wages. There's going to be gifts that the Lord bestows upon his servants, his children. There's going to be fruit that is gathered unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Oh, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. Oh, yes, as we see what the Lord has wrought, you know, and we get home and see, oh my, the things that God has done, the lives that have been spared, the lives that have been brought out, the gathering of the harvest. Oh, yes, as we gather there in the heavenlies, that home that he has prepared for those that love him. Oh, yes. Actually, on that new heaven and new earth. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. And herein, in verse 37, is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Yes, the prophets had already declared the words of God. They had been laboring before the time of Jesus. And now the Lord was bringing their work into fruition. And praise the Lord, this woman who went and told the others, it says in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Oh, there was hunger and a thirst for righteousness in that little place of Sychar. Those Samaritans, it says in verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. They heard, oh yes, the word of the Messiah. They heard the word of the Christ that came into the world, and many of them believed, it tells us, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, they got it. No wonder Jesus had to go to that town of Sychar. No wonder he had to sit there at the well. Oh yes, there was a work that had to be done there. And wow, how it reaped. Oh, there were hungry hearts that were ready to be harvested, to believe and to understand and to receive the things of God. Later on, the 7th chapter of John, if you'd like to turn there. It was the time of the feast, one of the feast days. It tells us in verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet ascended into the heavens. So, yes, the Holy Ghost was not yet given, but it was promised. Oh, yes, and he said, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, oh, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, there's going to be a river of living water that's going to flow. Yes, as he was speaking of the Holy Ghost that was going to come and fill that void, that emptiness, that spot that's reserved for the Savior, for the God of the universe. Oh, yes, he spake of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh yes, here he is. He's speaking of those living waters. Praise the Lord. And we know, oh yes, it came forth on the day of Pentecost. Oh yes, as they were gathered together, yes, those that had followed the instructions of Jesus Christ and had assembled themselves in Jerusalem, that they were tarried until the promise of the Father come upon them, bestowed upon them. So there they were on the day of Pentecost, that feast day. Oh, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly it tells us there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And oh yes, it burst forth, that living water began to burst forth in their innermost being. Oh yes, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh yes, that was that which had been spoken by the prophet Joel. Peter preached that the last day I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit. Oh, yes. And they shall prophesy. Oh, yes. This was that which had been spoken by the prophet Joel. Yes, the second chapter of Joel. He had declared, yes, God's going to pour out of His Spirit. Oh, it was the living waters that God had promised. Oh, yes, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Yes, out of your belly shall flow those living waters. Oh, and that, yes, which he spake of the Spirit. And praise the Lord. Going back to Psalms 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Oh, yes, that living water that comes, oh, yes, to change a life, to fulfill a life, to take away that void, that emptiness. Oh, yes, the spot that sometimes is filled up with the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life, those things that endure for just a moment, the things that man seeks after, but don't fulfill that need for the living waters. Oh yes, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to bring forth all the wells, that deep well that springs up within us, that well that never goes dry. Oh yes, that well that continues to nourish us. Oh yes, again and again and again we can draw from that water. There's always more to receive from the presence of the Lord. There's always more of His Spirit to receive. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, those wonderful living waters. And, you know, oh God, He sends us out so that we can let the others know that there is a well. Oh, that there is a river that, oh, they can drink of. Oh, yes, that their spiritual thirst can be quenched. And praise the Lord, there are people that are waiting. There are people that are waiting. In the 18th chapter of Psalms, verses 43 and 44. I remember when the Lord showed me these verses. Oh, yes, we were on a missions trip, and all at once I saw these verses that just stood right out. But here in Psalms 18, verse 43, "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me." Oh, the Lord reaching out, oh yes, for a people that he had not known, a people that were not partakers of the first covenant. But there was going to be a people. He's going to become the head of the heathen, the Gentile people. "A people whom I have not known shall serve me." It says, "As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me." Oh, praise the Lord, those people that are waiting, the people that want to hear, oh, the people that have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Maybe they go from place to place. Maybe they go from church to church. Yes, I've heard these stories of people who tried so hard to find a church where they preached the truth, and they couldn't find it. Oh, looking for those living waters. Where was it? It didn't seem to exist. Oh, but praise the Lord, the need for laborers, the need to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh, yes, to help reap it. Oh, yes, and blessed is a man. Oh, yes, and passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. Oh, yes, we're going to dig down deep. We're going to have a well. Oh, we're going to, yes, we're going to invite, oh, yes, those that are hungry and thirsty to come and partake of the living water. And yeah, so it begins to fall. The rain of God's Spirit begins to fall. It begins to rain and fill that void and that empty spot in the heart of the Lord. Begins to ascend upon those that seek him. And yes, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh yes, that strength that we find in God. Oh, from one opportunity to another. Yes, we gather ourselves here together to be strengthened in the Lord so we can reach out. Yes, so we can be encouraged, so we can get to that place where one day we can be right and stand before God. Oh yes, having on his garment, being clothed with his righteousness. Oh yes, we need that strengthening. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Oh yes, there's that initial point when you begin to find the Lord, and the Lord begins to shine his face unto you out of the darkness of this world. He begins to appear to you, and somehow you begin to perceive that there is a God in heaven that's calling, that's knocking at your heart's door. He wants to come in. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to get right, to repent. And there it is. There's that time of reckoning, when he knocks at the door. Every one of them inside appears before God. Oh, yes, we come, we gather. Oh, yes, to be renewed in the Lord, to be strengthened. The God of our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. We wait upon him, and he begins to strengthen us with his might, his power, with faith, that ability, yes, to go forth and to receive the blessings that he has for his people. And it says in verse 8 here, Psalms 84, "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." Oh yes, they were looking for that time when the anointed one would come. Oh yes, when the Messiah would come. Oh yes, and there they had, oh, you know, that wonderful shield of faith. Oh yes, with which we can fight the fiery darts of the adversary, of the devil. Oh yes, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." And then verse 10 says, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. Oh, Scripture says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I'll tell you what, there's a day when it's worn out. Oh, yes, and then there's a day of reckoning. And if you've lived in those tents of wickedness, that's your dwelling place. Oh, there's a day when it's going to be very empty. Oh, yes, and very unfulfilling and very disastrous in reality to be that in that condition when you stand before the living God. Oh, yes, a day in thy courts, a day in the presence of the Lord. Oh, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Yet His Spirit comes down. We begin, oh, as we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, oh, we can feel the things that really matter. Our spirits become strengthened. We become encouraged. Our faith begins to grow in the Lord. Oh, as we gather together in the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Oh, some lowly place, you know, just to be in the house of the Lord. Don't take me away from the house of the Lord. Let my priorities be right. You know, and that's quite a consideration in this day in which we live. So often jobs and circumstances take people away. Oh, I'll tell you what, it often happens. You know, people don't usually need to backslide. But little by little, yes, the things of the world or the cares of this life begin to take them away from the things that are of value, the things that are spiritually important. And you know, things can happen. And one's values can change. And all at once, it is possible to find that you're not serving the Lord fervently like you once did, that your heart is cold, that you're lukewarm, and oh, that your spirit isn't fervent in serving the Lord. Oh, we need these times. Oh, in the presence of the Lord, we need to dwell in that secret place of the Most High. Yes, that place, oh yes, where our cares, our troubles, that secret place of the Lord, where things like that begin to vanish. Oh, and we can feel the wonderful strengthening that comes from being in the Lord's presence. Oh, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And what a promise. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, the precious blessings of the Lord. You know, we're His sons and daughters. We're joint heirs of Christ. And you know that verse in Matthew 21, and we had been going there the other 2 weeks. And you know, Jesus said, oh yes, they marveled that the fig tree was so soon withered at the words of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, you know, if you have faith, oh, as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to yonder mountain, be thou removed, and that mountain would remove. Amen. That's what faith is. Just a simple little speck of faith. Grain of a mustard seed. Just believe in God. And Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, how He bids us to come unto Him. Oh, yes. How He encourages us to come unto Him. We need the living waters. Oh, yes. They come from the presence of the Lord. Yes. A lot of times people don't realize how dead they are. They don't realize that their soul is fainting. Yes, that, you know, they're despairing of eternal life. They don't know what they're looking for. But praise the Lord, there is one that offered us living waters. Oh, waters. Oh, yes. to spring up into a well of life everlasting, a well that never goes dry. Praise the Lord. And oh, his promises. He's a sun and a shield to his people. He will give grace and glory. And then he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh yes, you know, he told us in Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, Jesus said, or what man is there of you of whom his son asked bread? Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Jesus said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is so willing. And you know, Luke said it just a little different way. In the 11th chapter of Luke, that same train of thought there, that we should ask, that we should seek, and that we should knock. That everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to whom that knocketh, he that knocketh, it shall be opened. And again, if a father shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, this is the 11th verse of Luke 11, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he should ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And in verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, yes, you know the promise, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, on the day of Pentecost, you know, as Peter preached, and they were pricked in their hearts. Oh, and they asked, man and brother, what must we do? Peter bringing it forth, oh, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he says, oh, this promise is unto you, unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord, that's his promise that he would pour out of his Spirit in the latter days. Oh, yes. We're living in that time. He's still pouring out of his Spirit unto that dry, thirsty ground, those, oh, that faint for the living water. Oh, yes, there is a God who brings forth his bountiful provisions, supplies that water. Oh, yes. It goes down deep into the innermost being. Oh, yes. To supply that hunger and thirst. The thing that we would perish of, except that he freely offers it of us, or for us. Praise the Lord. One more place as I get ready to close here. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Jeremiah wrote, oh, it was a time he told them that they were going to be carried off into Babylon. And so they were. But there was a promise that after 70 years, they would return again. God would bring them back. And oh, yes, oh, he caused great things to happen. He used Cyrus to help them to come back, to give them the things that they had need of, all the provisions that they needed. So it would happen, the promise that in 70 years it would be accomplished at Babylon. This is Jeremiah 29, verse 10. I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And then verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, the Lord coming into our life. Oh, yes, to give us a peace that passes all understanding, to give us a hope. Oh, yes, that is for life everlasting. Then it says in verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. In verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, there's something about that person, oh, that's hungry and thirsty, and oh, that wants the living water more than anything else, greater than any other desire. Oh, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, pouring out of one's heart unto the living God, crying out with all one's being. Oh, knowing that there was a need, that there's a spiritual drought internally that needs to be fulfilled. And verse 14 here in Jeremiah, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will return again your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And he did it. He brought them back. They were restored. They were put back in their place. That promise, oh yes, that when we call upon God, we go and pray unto him, and he's going to hearken unto us, and he's going to be found of us when we search for him with all our heart, when we seek for him with all our heart. Oh, praise the Lord, our Lord, our God, the one that fulfills our life. Oh, that chapter in Psalms 84 ends, oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. Oh, the God that sees that longing in the soul, that fainting for the courts of the Lord, that hunger and thirsting for righteousness, that cry that comes from the innermost being. Oh, our God hears that kind of cry. Oh, he hastens to help that one that's crying out. Oh, yes. And thank the Lord, those promises are for us this very night. They are sure, if we can only believe, put our faith, our trust in the Lord, and seek for him with all our hearts. Search for him with all our heart. That promise that he's going to be found of us. Oh, yes. In those living waters, that gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, that's a promise. Oh, yes. Not for just those that heard it on the day of Pentecost, but unto us who are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We're going to find him when we search for him with all our heart. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for those living waters. Oh, Lord, that well that goes so deep that, oh, God, we can draw and draw from it. And, oh, Lord, all of us have more. I pray that you talk to our hearts, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you give us that searching and that cry, Lord. Oh, God, that desire, Lord. Oh, God, we would not have to faint, but we could come to you, Lord Jesus, and be filled with thy spirit. Oh, Lord, with thy goodness. Oh, Lord, with thy word. Oh, Lord, we could come to that place, oh, Lord, where you are in our very most innermost being. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you work here tonight. Oh, God, you change us, that you make us more like you, Lord. Oh, God, that you pour out of your spirit upon all flesh, upon us, oh, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we can draw from that well that never will run dry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Going from strength to strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there are so many different songs we could sing after a message like that. But there's one that's been on my mind throughout this message, and it's number 26 in the chorus book, In His Presence. Number 26 in the chorus book, In His Presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy.
Thank you.